Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust, that word trust, isn't it? Some of us have had trust broken, haven't we? Who's had trust broken in their life? Some of us have had horrible things happen to us. Some things make no sense, and someone that you thought was wonderful, and then something happens, and it can be very painful, can't it? But we can trust in the Lord. And what does it say? With all of your heart. It sounds so simple, but that's not simple, because we are complicated people, aren't we? You know, just like Jesus, you know, the Godhead, we've got a kind of soul, we've got a spirit, we've got will, we've got mind, we've got emotions. Do we trust Him with our intellect? Do we trust Him when we look at Proverbs? Proverbs is a book of wisdom, isn't it? And it talks about the importance of seeking godly wisdom. I would say that's kingdom living. When we talk about Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom, it's how this stuff applies into day-to-day life, isn't it? And the Bible has got a precept or a principle for everything. It's clear. It has a precept and a principle for relationships, for sexuality, for finances, for sadness. Some stuff is very clear. Some things, some situations that we particularly have, we really do need to trust the Holy Spirit to help us. But there's a principle and a precept there if we just focus, get into it, put our heart into it. What did Jesus say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how can you give God everything and then trust? But when we give God everything, He's a magnifier, isn't He? When we submit our lives, when we die to self, He raises us up afresh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where's your heart? Where's your heart at? How big is your heart? When it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, how much are you trusting Him right now? How much do you trust for God's wisdom? In the book of James, James talks about godly wisdom, and the opposite is worldly wisdom. And it can seem right on the outside, but underneath it's missing something, isn't it? It doesn't have the complete picture. And there may be great principles, but actually, and sometimes worldly wisdom can be, as James says, can be of the devil. Sometimes it can be done in a way to cause disruption, to cause division, to cause doubt. There are some very wise people in the world. There are some very clever people in the world. But the Bible is very clear. The fool says in his heart there is no God. So, do you know what? They're just better educated fools. I know that sounds like an insult, but Scripture's clear. If we deny that there's a God, we're a fool. But wisdom, go seek wisdom. And Proverbs is a wonderful book when it comes to those things. But how much do I trust Him? Do I trust Him with all my heart? And lean not on your own understanding. Now, this is the thing, isn't it? We often go to God when we're in trouble, isn't it? But often we think for this situation and that situation, we can do it ourselves. Do we lean on our own understanding? I think the older I get, the more I realize I don't know, isn't it? I think I knew everything. Well, as teenagers, what do they say? Leave home while you still know everything, isn't it? But the more I grow, the more I realize I don't know. But our own understanding. In all your ways, say acknowledge. This word uses the word submit. And the Hebrew word yada, it's almost like lying down. That's one element of it. You see, babies do this. Sometimes a baby, as they start to become more aware, say they want to get a sweet or a cookie, or they want to do something, they'll reference mum. Have you ever seen them when they reference? In all your ways, acknowledge. Do you acknowledge Jesus in all your ways? Do you reference Him? Do you reference Him? And we can reference someone directly and indirectly, can't we? You know, when you get married, your life is no longer just yours. Does that make sense? It's going to affect how I relate to other people. I might not be able to go out with, not girlfriends, but friends that are females. It would probably be appropriate for me to go out with them or see them. Things change. Things around finance. You know, your finances are, well, in our case, they're together. So it has implications what I do with my finance, doesn't it? I might not be able to buy that fancy running jacket that I want to buy today. I might have to wait till I can afford it or till Christmas is done or whatever. So there's that directly, you know, acknowledging. And indirectly, but when you know someone, you do know what they would do. Does that make sense? So in our marriage, let's say if somebody needed some help, and we like to bless, we all like to bless, isn't it? It's a gift to bless. So if I heard of a need, myself and Shay, we would probably know, and we should do this as like the Mr. and Mrs. to see what that amount would be. What amount can you bless without checking with the other? That's a good question. That might not be good for some of the marriages in this room. I don't know. I've got a number in my head. I'm going to see after what Shay's number is. But let's say it was £100. Because I know Shay and I've walked with Shay, I know, see, but indirectly I'm still referencing. It's living. I'm no longer living for me, am I? I'm referencing what would Jesus do? That, remember that band? But what would Shay do? Would Shay be okay? She might not be happy if I gave my car away. Does that make sense? Maybe I might need to check. So can you see what I mean by indirectly referencing? And the more we read the word, we get those ways into our thinking, isn't it? But we still reference him. He still becomes our beacon, our banner, our guide. In all your ways, acknowledge, submit, arrange yourself. We don't like the word submit, do we? But that is the gospel. The gospel is about the cross. It is about dying to self and living for Christ. But it's coming into that place. But we can trust him. We can submit to him because he will make your path straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Might not be in your timing. It might not be instant. I honestly thought I was doing God a favor when I went to Bible school. I honestly thought, you know, I'm doing this for you, God. The least you can do, my logic was, well, if I'm giving up this career with this salary, surely you're going to bless me with the same amount. You know what I mean? Surely. Isn't that, goodness me, it's embarrassing to think that I thought that way. But do you know what? I've learned in life that when you seek God first, all these things is true. And maybe some of those things that we thought were all weren't all at all. Because as we start to trust him with all our heart, he changes what we value. The things that we thought were important are not, and the things maybe that we didn't start to become more preeminent. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own, in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. How straight are your paths? Now, and it's not always rainbows and sunshine, is it? Life does have those curves. But when we put him first, he does straighten those paths. There's nothing worse than a diversion. There's nothing worse than seeing people that are going round the mountain. Even as a minister, in some of the situations that I've helped people through, I see the patterns, and sometimes God shows me insight into someone, and I can see that the stuff that's happening here is they just haven't resolved something around this side of the mountain, and until we go back, sort that out, we're not going to get that straight path. But do we trust that God is going to provide? Do you genuinely trust that God provides for you? That he wants to direct your path, that he wants to lead you? He is trustworthy. Trust. Trust is a wonderful feeling when you're in it, isn't it? That safety. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Lord shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? I needed that verse when I bought my first house because I moved in, 23, on my own. I did the foolish thing of sleeping the first night there. When you move in, it's not your bath, is it? It's not your thing. And I remember being a bit freaked out. But then that verse came to me. But you know what? When we've got this relationship with God, we can come into that place. We can come into that shadow, his shadow. It's a safe place. And do you know, how is your sleep? Because sleep is important, isn't it? But when we're aligned, and I'm not saying that if you've got anxiety, your problems with sleep, but often it is to do with our trust. And people will let you down. I think I said that early on when I came. See, leaders will let you down. We're fallible. But Jesus won't let you down. Jesus will not let you down. And when we look at other verses in Proverbs, you know, you get sweet sleep. It talks about sweetness of sleep. Isaiah 26, because anxiety is a massive thing. It's a massive thing in our society. And again, when we talk about mental health, we don't have a stigma around it. Sometimes in church, there was that stigma around mental health, and just pray a little bit harder. I remember going to something with leaders in Cardiff about having a mental health first aider in the church. And what gave this lady the impetus to start this charity, just like first aid, to identify a problem and to help people get help, was she'd had serious postnatal depression, and she lived in an affluent area, and she was married, and she shared with people, and they just said, well, why are you sad? You should be happy. You've got a husband, you've got a family, you've got lots of money. And that, or, you know, let me pray for you, or we don't talk about it. And we mustn't be afraid to talk about it. It's a real thing. And sometimes we need help, and sometimes medicine can help us. But also, it's important that in our relationship with Him, that we are working on this trust in Him. In a world where people trust worldly wisdom is not working, is it? You look at the news, the world is crazy, isn't it? People are already taking toilet rolls ready for Christmas because they're worried. And, do you know what I mean? And there's no bits for bikes, so if you need to get a bike for your kid, get it quick, because all these things are going on. But Isaiah 26, verse 3 to 4, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Trust should improve the quality of sleep. And what do we do? Do I pray, or do I go for the ibuprofen? I try to pray before I have the ibuprofen. I recognize God's gifted us with medicine. But it's also, how much do I reference God in my life? How much do you reference God in your daily life? Those bands, weren't they? What would Jesus do? Remember those? Well, it hasn't changed, has it? We still need to live that way. That fad might have gone. Are we referencing Him? Do we seek Him? Are we opening up our hearts? Are we being vulnerable towards Him? See, there's trust when you have to. When Shay needs an emergency C-section, and the poor lady is on all sorts of cocktail of stuff. And I remember doctors producing a form, you know, that you have to sign. You know, this woman is not in a cognitive state to sign anything, candidly. She was calling out for Jesus quite a lot during that time. It's quite, you know, of course, people maybe don't understand in the same way that other people use that term in those situations. So I remember my wife scribbling something. It was nothing like a handwriting. But sometimes we have to trust, don't we? When you're in an emergency situation, you have no choice but to trust those people that are there, that are best qualified, that know the right decision, and to go with that. And even we think of Peter, don't we, with the cast your nets the other side, isn't it? And Jesus comes to him, isn't it? It's in Luke, early on in Luke, and it's at the end of John 21. There's that beautiful, beautiful scene, isn't it, at the end, after Jesus has risen. But the first time we get this massive catch of fish is, isn't it, they've been out all night, they've caught nothing, Jesus comes along, Jesus says, you know, cast your nets the other side. Now, Peter probably thought, hang a bang, Jesus, you know, I'm the president of the Zebedee Fishing Club, you know what I mean? I'm a professional fisherman, I know what I'm doing, I've been all night, I know how to catch fish. You know, maybe just stick to preaching, you're good at that, Jesus. But what does he say? Because it's you, I'll try it. And of course, the story, the boat is so full of fish. And it's choosing to trust. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Very simple verse, isn't it? Do I walk in the reality of that verse? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust. Simple. Last week we did abide, but trust. How is your trust life in Jesus? Don't even worry about other people. Let's just get the Jesus bit right first. How is my trust in Him? Do I trust Him with all of my heart, with all of my being? Am I referencing Him? Obviously, I don't need to check with Shay if I need to do this and that, because there's the relationship there. But in my work, when I need help, if there's something I'm not sure of, am I acknowledging it? Am I saying, hey, I want your input, referencing him? How is my anxiety? Do I believe this stuff? And do you know what? Maybe you have got some anxiety. Maybe there's some. Maybe you're not doing well with sleep. And hey, if you need to speak to us, come and speak to the leadership. We'll pray for you. We don't know the answers to everything, but we know Jesus, and we're very happy to point you to him. And we can tell you from our experience that Jesus answers prayer. That Jesus does make a way. He is the way maker, and that's what we're going to close with in a bit. Jesus is the way maker. And next week, we've got a special morning. And we want to invite you to come, because we're just going to take some time just to think about this abiding, to think about this trusting. And even this, maybe the next word is that trust and obey, isn't it? What is God saying? But to you as a person, we're in a season of discerning. And discernment starts with me and my relationship. And that takes effort. That takes being vulnerable to trust with all your heart. It takes making sure that you've got people that speak into your life. That's why it's so important to have and to be part of a smaller community. It's not easy to do that in this setting. It's not easy to do discipleship. We can, but when you've got those relationships, and who asks you the question? Who can speak into your life? I know some people that no one can speak into their life. Who speaks into my life? And we're just going to take some time. And I want to give you opportunity to give us some testimony. It's wonderful to see what God is doing among us. I'm so thrilled that God is doing this stuff. As we've listened to his voice and come through this season, and still in this season of discipleship, learning to live like he lived, I'm seeing fruit. I'm seeing God is, because God needs to sort out who we are first. But then when that's, of course, we're not all going to be sorted. We're all works in progress. But I'm seeing fruit. I don't think I've shared the gospel with so many people in the last 2 weeks than I have in my entire life. The opportunities that I've had to people, but in real, natural, relational ways, people that I've met through cabs or builders, or, you know, even just the privilege of speaking to Simon across the fence. And you just think, God is doing stuff here. But let's just make sure that we are aligning ourselves. And let's take it seriously when we do this fast in November. And we're going to do a 3-day fast, and you don't have to do the full thing. But I really want to encourage you. We have this incredible opportunity to seek God for what. But it starts with me. It starts with my relationship with him. It starts with that. And I know that God's got the rest. Amen?